to your little ones and those who you have a responsibility to. You can't even give that what you owe to somebody else, the bank, because it's not even your money. Now, maybe you spend it in your covetousness, but you still got to pay it back. But if out of that, whatever little you can spare is in a bounty to God, because you have nothing to spare. And if you really understood your situation, you'd know you have nothing. You know, a man, like he said to the widow's mite, you know, out of their plenty, they've given little. But she cast in everything she had. You know, that widow, I guess my analogy, male, it's all right for her to go without herself. But all her living would be all for her. Not including, like, let's say if she had a child, she would have fed the child, and what was left she cast into the treasury. Out of her bounty. She gave everything she had. That was a big gift. Just a penny. Well, I say a penny. I don't know exactly how much. The widow's mite was a very small amount of money. I didn't prepare for this to remember exactly how that went or what portion of what it was. But it's based on percentages. A bountiful percentage, and I don't mean, I don't want raw percentage. I don't want to go looking at tithes and all that nonsense. I'm just talking about out of what is truly yours. You know, he's talking about money to be given to those who have need. But he talks about, you know, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. We can prosper in many things. There are many things we can give. Time. You can offer the sacrifice of giving your time to the things of God. That's what a minister does, is they sacrifice their time and their livelihood. They could be working and earning money, but instead, they labor in the gospel. You know, look at my Bible studies. They're all free. I'm not selling. And I won't be. You know, but it takes a lot of time. And I suppose you sow what you reap. You know, I've sowed a lot of time into the ministry from time to time. I won't say I haven't wasted some time. Sometimes I look back with regret at time I wasted doing things that are unprofitable or just selfish, you know, looking after selfish things. But, you know, if I've sown my time, God has caused me to reap abundantly. I've got lots of free time. Huh. Maybe not so, because much of my time is owed to others, just like my money. But out of what free time I have, I try to give it to the Lord, being very destitute of the other kind of wealth. God does not want to give us to give out of necessity, which means we need to give. It means constraint, meaning we are constrained to give. You must give. Or like of a feeling within yourself, I got to give, because if I don't give, I'll never be blessed. So to him of your love. So to him of your time, of your moments, of your thoughts, of your love. I said love, but love is cannot be underestimated, the value of that. Not grudgingly. You know, literally that means of grief. God doesn't want to cause you grief. He wants you to be joyful in giving. It isn't saying like, well, you know, I know it's going to ruin you to give, but give cheerfully anyways. That's the point. You know, God wants you to be merry about it. The word in Greek, I just say this because it's interesting, it's hilario, hilaros. Like we get hilarious, comes from that, it's a Greek origin. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Hey, God is able to make all grace abound. Well, then why isn't it all happening? It's a question I could ask. Why don't I have money that I can pay my bills and give? God is able to make it abound towards us. Sometimes it's just a matter of time and patience. The Lord has taught me patience. He taught me patience by making me wait. You know? And now here I wait on the Lord, and I'm more content than I've ever been. You know why? Patience is no good if it is never fulfilled. Meaning this. Let's say you want to wait for the bus, and you want to be patiently waiting for the bus, but let's say the bus never comes. What good is patience to you? You sit there calmly, you wait, and the grass grows under you, and the birds make nests in your hair. No use. You were patient, and you're a fool. You waited and nothing came. But those who wait on the Lord are not going to be fools. We don't have to be, you know, when Paul's would talk, be patient in all things. It means all things profitable to be patient in. Sometimes we need to use diligence, and diligence is really the opposite of patience. It's to use speed, to be active in pursuing something. Patience needs to have a payoff. I patiently waited for the Lord, and He answered my prayer. That makes you more patient. Because you say, aha. Now maybe, I'll tell you what, I didn't wait patiently on the Lord. I was tormented and vexed. But He still came and gave me the answer to my prayer. And that taught me to be patient. I don't need to get tormented and vexed because God will answer my prayer. See, that's how you were built up in patience. By sometimes not being very patient. And then being ashamed for having been so annoyed in this situation. And therefore, God